This broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Guess what day it is? It is Friday! So I love my Fridays. Today is January the 21st. We have our men's breakfast tomorrow, and so that's always a good day as well. So pray that you are planning on having a great weekend and that you will make God a priority in your life, that you will make attending church a priority in your life. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come to Merit Assembly of God. And God has been speaking to me. I don't just want to preach a word. I want to preach the word that God has for our church in the time that he wants us to preach that. That's the same thing I'm doing here. If you come to Merit Assembly of God, you might hear some of the same stories, but the study that goes into the radio program is an entirely different vein than what I'm studying for what I need to bring to the congregation at Merit Assembly of God. And so if you think, well, I hear him on the radio, what else is he going to say? Well, it's a different message. Occasionally they bleed over, but not very often. And so that's why if you look at my desk at times can look like, okay, most times, it can look like a disaster area because there is so much research. The things that you're hearing me talking about, seeking truth, I think that originally when I first printed out all of the verses that had to do with, you know, lying and telling the truth and deceiving and, you know, everything, I think it started out as 144 pages. And then I whittled it down and whittled it down and filtered it and things like that. I've got a notebook here. It's a 1-inch notebook and it's filled with pertinent passages from God's word that will teach us the importance of seeking the truth of God. So anything that God mentions that frequently must be very, very important. And so yesterday we were talking about mercy and truth, preserving the life of the king. Today I want to take you to Psalm 85. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah. I'll read it. It's not a long psalm here. It's only 13 verses. But it says this: Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. Selah. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. So, today I want to focus on verse number 10 through 13. Now, if you remember earlier, we talked about the paths, that all of the paths of the Lord are truth and mercy. And so it says here in verse number 13, and he shall make his footsteps our pathway. Let me start off by saying this today. God is never going to tell you to do something that he's not willing to walk that pathway with you. He's not going to dispatch you and say, "Oh, I don't want to do this." I've had times in my life where there was a person who didn't want to do a job. And so what they would do is they would send me to do the job that they didn't want to do. And then when I would return, there would be scrutiny about how I did the job. And it was always followed with this line. I'll never forget this line. And as a result of this, I'm kind of traumatized by this line. I don't use it very frequently in my life. And that is this. They would turn to me after sending me to do a job that they didn't want to do. And yet when I did the job, they didn't like the way that I did the job. And so they would say this: "Well, you should have said this. Well, you should have done this." And inside, my response was, if that's what you wanted said, if that's what you wanted done, you should have said it yourself. You should have done it yourself. So one of the things that I have tried to do is I've tried to learn from everyone that I have worked for or been around. And I either learned how I either A, wanted to do something, or B, I learned how I didn't want to do something. And so very, very, very rarely will you ever find me correcting somebody on a Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's supposed to be a day of divine encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that leaves you transformed by the grace of God. Okay? So you will not find me, I'll preach the word, and if the Holy Spirit takes that word and directs it into somebody else's life, then that's one thing. But you're not going to find me correcting them, for what they did or what they didn't do on the Lord's Day. Just not going to happen. So God will walk that. He says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." And that means that he's going to walk the path with you. You might not see him, but the pathway that he generates, it's going to be a path of truth. It's going to be a path of mercy. It's going to be a righteous path. And it's going to be a path that he made because he traveled it before you did. So no matter what you're facing today, understand that God has already made a path. Whether he has to make a path through the Red Sea, or he has to make a path through to healing, or if he has to make a path towards ending poverty in your life, whatever it needs to be, God has already done all of the hard work so that you and I can live on the straight and narrow pathway. So verse number 7 says, "God, we have a great desire. We need you to show us your mercy and grant us your salvation." Please understand that you are not a believer because you're an American. You're not a believer if you didn't come from America. You're not a believer because you're rich. You're not a believer because you're poor. The only way that you can gain access to heaven is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, and he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how we get to heaven. We need to be recipients of his mercy. And so the psalmist cries out, "God, show us your mercy and grant us your salvation." So the sons of Korah, as they are writing this psalm, verse number 10 shows the partnership, the encounter that is there between mercy and truth. It says, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Okay? So there is a intimate connection, a frequent connection. It is not just an encounter. Like I've told you on the radio of people that I have encountered, but I never worked with them. I just happened to be in the same place at the same time with them and recognized them and went up and had a brief conversation with them. That is not what happens with mercy and truth. Whenever we seek truth and seek mercy, we are going to find that they are constant traveling companions, that when they meet together, it's not just a one-time encounter, it is an encounter with one another that happens over and over and over again. Okay? Now, I have some people that I know, people that I have a lot in common with, but my relationship with them doesn't really extend much more than seeing them in a business establishment from time to time, waving at them, and if it so happens, then we have a brief conversation. I want you to know that that's not because that's the way I wanted that relationship to be, but when we had a conversation about, hey, you know, what kind of depth of relationship are we going to have? This isn't a romantic relationship or anything like that. It's just a contemporary relationship. And I said, you know, where are we? And the person's response was, this is it. That's all I got time for. I'll wave at you. And, you know, we'll say hi from time to time. And it's like, huh? That's really not where I thought that we would be like the stick in Ezekiel 37, where Judah is written on one stick and Ephraim is written on the other stick, and they are united in God's hand. That's the kind of relationship that I was looking for, but that wasn't the type of relationship they were looking for. Truth and mercy are not in a distant relationship. Actually, when you look at this context, you're going to see that it is an intimate relationship. They're inextricably connected. It goes on and it describes the connection not only between mercy and truth, but also righteousness and peace. And it says righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You know, that's not something that you just do. I mean, that shows some familiarity. That shows that there's a great appreciation, the one for the other. That they're not looking for something that is just going to endure for the night, but instead they're looking for this to be a lifelong journey together, and that they recognize the value and affection that they have for one another. So righteousness has a great appreciation for peace. Peace understands the necessity of righteousness. And they said, man, I am so glad that we are on this journey together. That's the way that mercy and truth operate. So the farther we get away from the truth of God, the less mercy we are going to see. The farther we get away from biblical righteousness, the farther we're going to get away from peace and tranquility. It's, you know, again, peace is more than absence of conflict. It is a soundness. It is a wholesomeness that God is looking for. So they keep encountering one another, and you know, I appreciate that understanding. So Proverbs chapter 3, Now, if you turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, there are some verses in there that are very popular. So let me read the popular ones first, and then we'll go back to the ones that we're going to focus on today. Verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Those are very popular verses. Now let me take you to the verses that precede those. This is Solomon writing to his son. And he said, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Okay. Written by Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a paternal guidance. It is a spiritual guidance through paternal relationship. And it says, for length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. So wouldn't it be advantageous for people to understand that the Word of God is meant to increase the quality and the quantity of the days that you live? Okay? I want to live as long as I can be fruitful, but in all honesty, I want to live. I don't just want to exist. I want to thrive. I want to be a blessing. And so Solomon goes on and he writes in verse number 5. And again, we're talking about the partnership. There's still much more about this partnership that we're going to talk about in the days to come. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, when I look at that, I think back to Jesus' life, and I'm going to see if I can find this real quick. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We talk about that verse a lot at Christmas time, and all of us want to grow in favor with wisdom and in God and man. And so Proverbs 3:3 says that this is the way that that happens. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. It goes on and says, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And so what Solomon writes to his son, and I don't know if the son in this particular case was Rehoboam or one of his other children, but he's saying you need to make sure that that mercy and truth, which have met together in your life, that you internalize them, that you treasure them, that you value them highly, that you make them an intimate part of your life. He says, don't let them get away. Don't let them get away. He says, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Wherever you are, he says, make sure that it is not just a superficial encounter with mercy and truth that you are having, but it is a valuable part of your internal makeup, that you treasure it so much that you have it in your heart. Herodias had a hostile attitude towards John the Baptist, because John the Baptist said, look, the Bible says you're not supposed to be in the relationship that you're in. And she hated him because of that. I mean, here's a newsflash for you. The carnal nature doesn't like to be told no. The carnal nature does not like to have any restrictions placed upon it. The carnal nature has a increasing longing for depravity and wants more and more depravity. Not just more in volume, but more depth of depravity. That's where the carnal nature is. And so Herodias, when she was told no, one of the Bible translations says this, that she nursed a grudge against John the Baptist. I preached a message one time, and I did it kind of in an illustrated manner, because things that you see can make a great impact on what you remember. And so I took this personification of a grudge, and I hooked it up to an IV. I hooked it up to a heart monitor, and it was under constant supervision. The point of the message was, there are too many people nursing the hurts and the pains of the past. Well, we're not supposed to be nursing grudges, but what we are supposed to be doing is working diligently in our life to maintain the precious gift from God that is in mercy and truth in a constant encountering with one another. It says, write them on the tablet of your heart. When God tells us to do something, it is never without cause. It is never without reason. It is never without benefit. And so what does that benefit of seeking truth and finding mercy and becoming a person whose heart is for truth and mercy? What does that benefit a person in their life? It says in verse number 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I like that it mentions God first. I come from a background of being a people pleaser. I was the oldest child. I am the oldest child. I was the compliant child. I didn't like getting in trouble. I found it to be extremely painful and uncomfortable. And so I wanted to make sure that whatever my parents wanted, that's what I did. When I got to college, I still didn't like people not liking me. As a pastor, I don't like it when people don't like me. Here's the truth that I've realized, is that I'm not going to be able to get everybody to like me. There's a reason why there's so many different churches, and that is because there are different preferences that people have. Now, I think that the people that I want at my church are people who value the Word of God, value the presence of God, and value living with a mindset towards blessing a community. That's what I like. I realize that when people leave, that, you know, they're firing me as their pastor, and that doesn't make me happy, but, you know, I can't do anything necessarily about that. Now some people have moved away, changed geography and things like that. That's a different story. That's just, divine direction. But there are some people who've chosen mercy and truth, and then they went back and chose sin and the consequences that come with that. God says here that whenever we treasure and seek truth and mercy, that we are going to find that it's going to impact our relationship with God, and it's going to impact our relationship with other people. And here's what it is. You're going to find favor. And you're going to find people who esteem you highly. Now, remember, it mentions God first, because we live in a society that treats people like this. If you think the same way that I think, if you do the same things that I do, if you are part of the same club that I'm a part of, if something happens and you're taken off of the scene, it is going to cause me great loss. So you see that with politicians, when a politician passes away. You see it with entertainment figures or sports figures. Whenever that person dies, that club is negatively impacted. Here in the Word of God, we're not talking about a club. We're talking about a kingdom. And it's God's kingdom. And the purpose of God's kingdom is people. He's in the people business. He's in the redeeming people business. He's in healing people, leading people, empowering people. That's what he does. So all his paths are mercy and truth. And when God finds somebody that says, wow, these two things aren't in a strained relationship, they're in an intimate relationship, and I need to treasure these. I need to bind them on my head. I need to write them on my heart so that I think about things that are true and think about things that are merciful, and I have a heart for things that are true and a heart for things that are merciful. He said, all of a sudden, you're going to find your relationship with God is one that is walking in favor, and God highly esteems you. I mean, what a blessing. And then it goes on and it says this, and the more that you do that, the more valuable people are going to see that relationship as well. And so not only will God think of you in a favorable manner, not only will he highly esteem the relationship with you, but people will as well. There's a verse, and I don't remember which king it was talking about right off the top of my head, but it says, and he died to no one's regret. And I was like, what a horrible testimony. I want to value mercy and truth so that when I've breathed my last breath, people will say, you know what? There was a person who not only believed in mercy and truth, they lived it. I pray that you'll do that this weekend as well. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.